says hoy shodet ba'atolo shodud, right? Uvogid v'lo bagdu bach. Kasim choshodet kutushad kanloscha livgod yivgadu bach. Okay, there is a lot of plundering that is going on in this pasuk. A lot of stuff going on over here. Okay, we are now done. We're going to do a lot of crazy stuff over here.
Is this Mashiach?
Okay, we're going to get to Sanhedrin very, very soon. But the main point of what we're going to do over here is we're going to go into the end of what's going to happen by a real true king, and what happens when a real true king, somebody like Hezekiah, has something bad happen at the same time. So how does that true king react, and what ends up happening? So here we go. Woe to you, right, Ashur, Babel, Rome, right, those who are shodet, who are plundering, gatalo shadud, you have never been plundered. Bogad, betrayers, below bagdu, who have not been betrayed. Okay, it says, when you finish to plunder, you will yourselves be plundered. And when you yourselves are weary of plundering others, of betraying others, that's when you will be betrayed. This is what ends up happening over here.
Let's see why they were so cruel. They had never been the victims. They
correct.
Were always the,
because you were always going to be the person. You're always going to be the person who is going up against others, right? Since those people are sitting there and saying, here's what I can do over here, that's when B'nai Yisrael, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was telling them, just wait. You will feel it. You'll realize what it's like for yourselves. Here we go. Pasuk Beis. Hashem chanenu lecha. Hashem give us grech chanenu. Lecha kivinu. We hope toward you. Hayez ro'am labakarim af yishosin v'yisaro. Be our strength every morning and be our salvation in the times of woe. Our idea is that even if we're not worthy, even if we're not able to do anything, nonetheless, every morning be with us and help us with whatever we need. Mikol amon, nadudu amin. From the voice of all the roaring, from all the people, all the nations will start to flee. From your exaltedness, all the nations will be thrown away. Your booty, everything that you'll have, will be gathered together like the gathering of locusts. As the way that locusts go down on top of a field, that's what it's going to be. In other words, there is going to be a time where the Ashur, or I guess you could say Babel, attacks, and everything will be taken. It will be gathered in hordes. At that time, HaKadosh Baruch will be exalted. He shokin marom. He stays up above, milat zion mishpatut tzedakah, and he'll fill up zion with justice and tzedakah. Now, it's possible what that means is that some people will survive. It's possible what that means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show even mishpatut tzedakah at that moment. At that moment, when things are bad and people are really being thrown down and everything like that, at that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show certain people that they're being saved. Even at that time, there's going to be salvation. There's going to be something good from that area. Ayamunas itecha chosin ishuos chokmas vadas. Now this is the line that's used in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph over here. It says like this: the emuna of your times, our belief that your times are the right times. Chos in Yeshuos, the strength that we have that you will be able to save us, that there will be salvation through you. Chokmas vedas, through Chokman das, Yiras Hashem Yotzero. Hashem's the awe of Hashem, Yiras Hashem is Yotzero. Now, the line over here that's used in the Gemara is the following: emuna is referring to Zroyim. Itecha is Moed. Chosen is... I forgot. Is that Nushim? I don't remember. Yeah, I think it is Nushim. Yeshuos is Nezikin. Chokmas is Kudshin. Das is Taharas. Right? Those are the six Siddurim of Mishnayos. That even if you have all of them, if you have Yiras Hashem and you're in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, then Hiotzero, you'll be able to keep it in. Your Chokma will be able to be Niskayim. The way it says it in what's it called? Right? In Pirkei Avos. If Yiras Hashem is Kodemes to all of your Chokma, if you have Yiras Hashem first and Chokma later, then you'll be able to be able to, your Chokma will be Miskayim Biyado. But if not, if there is no Yiras Hashem, then your Chokma is not Miskayim Biyado. So Yiras Hashem is the greatest thing that a person can have when it comes to all this. But the point is, the people that will be saved, the people that are going to be protected, are those that are going to be able to learn Torah, whether it was from before Har Sinai or Pasuk Zion. Hein Har Elam, right, so Aku Chutzah, right? Behold, right, their messengers will cry out in the street. weeds. Malachei Shalom Mar Yivkayim. The heralds of peace are going to cry out and they're going to say bitterly. Noshamu Misilos, right? All the highways. Everybody stop going on the paths. Shavas Over. Nobody's passing by anymore. Orach Hefer Brit, right? All the guests have broken their treaty. Moas Orim. They have despised the city's Lo Choshev Anosh, right? They don't think about other people. Avol Mlala Aretz. The land has been destroyed. Or Aval Umlala Aretz. Hechbir Lebanon. Even the Lebanon has been shamed. Kamal Hayasharon. The Sharon has been, sort of destroyed. Karav like the wilderness. The Noar Bashan and the Carmel. Noar Bashan and the Carmel are all going to be shaking completely. Okay, now this is going to be. Panic is going to be there before Sennacherib fails. Remember, this is at the time when Sennacherib is coming up against Yerushalayim. I've always wondered this, but I've never really fully understood it. Sennacherib is surrounding Yerushalayim. It really could be there. You could talk about any war. When they went in and they fought against the 31 kings, right? Granted, they fought against the 31 kings. There must have been thousands, if not tens of thousands of people that ran away to like random places in the middle of the land. You can't get rid of everyone. People just run around from one place to the other. Sure, you took over the big cities, but you weren't able to take over everything. I think that's impossible. I don't think that ever happened. So, yeah, I would think so.
Yoshua.
They're going through, and they could. I don't even understand how that could be expected. How in the world are you expected to be able to destroy every single person in the land? I don't know how that's possible.
Eventually, they would either be driven out or killed off because they can't live there.
But they wouldn't be able to live normally. And I think the problem was not that they... It wasn't that they didn't destroy everybody at first. It's that when later on they saw the people living there, they're like, whatever, let them be. It's not that big of a deal anymore. And eventually, they became like big nations, and eventually they were able to take over again. The Canaanite became a strong nation again, or whatever it is. So I feel it's like the same thing over here as well. Sennacherib is taken over, and he's going up to Yerushalayim. But Yehuda had tons of other cities. Some of those cities might have been destroyed by Sennacherib. It's possible. But there must have been many other places that were perfectly there. So the people, right, no longer went
to Yerushalayim.
He started Yerushalayim.
Why wouldn't he destroy the other ones that are on Yerushalayim?
It's really difficult to do that. That was the problem. I don't mean to say it this way, but that was the problem with Hitler, Yerach Shemo. Instead of going straight for the heart of Russia and knock out St. Petersburg and knock out the Tsar and get rid of Moscow or whatever it is, he went all the way around. Whoever it was. He went all the way around.
No,
and he went city to city.
Russia at all. He had Russia as an ally.
Okay.
Taking on two fronts at the same time.
Granted, that's for sure true, but the way he went for Russia is going up and down, until by the time he was ready to go, he was already in the Russian winter. So people weren't prepared for it, and that's that. Meaning you don't go straight for the heart and then destroy from there and then go out and destroy the rest. And that's what Sennacherib did. Sennacherib may have burned down certain cities. That's possible. But the main idea was go for Yerushalayim, go for the jugular. Once you get that, then you'll go and you'll take care of all the people that are around. So people stopped walking to Yerushalayim. They knew that Yerushalayim was in trouble. Sennacherib was right around it. Since then, they waited out in the fields. They stood in their little villages or in their little areas. They stood out there and they waited. They waited and they waited and they waited and they waited. And that's the idea. At that point, right, Yeshaya is begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save Yerushalayim. I would think thousands of, I don't know. I mean, it depends on how big the wall was.
We had to see the remnants that they've been digging in the old city to see where the
is. It's possible, but I don't know. It's not that big, but you can fit a lot of people in a very small space, especially that event.
High rises.
No, it's not high rises. Think of Yerushalayim. Think of the old city now. Right. Think of the tens of thousands of people inside there. And if you include other areas, again, don't know for sure, but if you include other areas that would have been around Yerushalayim that were open areas, right, not in the wall itself.
The open areas, though, when some pair of army is literally...
Yeah, they wouldn't have been around that way. But nonetheless, those people, again, were not the problem for Sennacherib's army. Sennacherib was going for the jugular. Maybe he would have left them alone or allowed them to be. Whatever it was, there could have been a lot of people there. Regardless, now I'm going to get up, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now I'm going to get up and be exalted. Now I'm going to be elevated. Once Sennacherib comes in and acts, he takes away all the booty. He's sitting around Yerushalayim. He really has everybody, really going for the jugular, sitting there ready to destroy. It's that you can go ahead and be pregnant with this chashash, with this sort of like shaft. You're going to give birth. right? Tekash. That's how your spirit, right? Your spirit is going to be consumed by fire. They considered, this is referring to Ashur, they looked at Yerushalayim as just like chaff of the fire. Remember how Sennacherib looked at Yerushalayim and sort of like waved his hand at it and was like, oh, I can defeat that in a second. There shouldn't be a problem. What's going to happen now is, the nations of the world that came together with Sennacherib are going to be the burnt limestone. All of these thorns and thistles, right? They're going to be like them on fire. I want all of the people far away to hear about what I've done. Those who are close by, they will know of what I've done. Meaning the ones close by, they're going to see the miracle that I do in Sennacherib's army. The ones that are far away are different. All the people in Sion, the sinners, were afraid. All the wicked people, right, they were grabbed by a certain terror. Who is going to be with us against this consuming fire? Who's going to be with us against these fires that are going to be there forever? What are we going to have to do? That fear was there. Who in the world is going to be able to go up? And the people are going to say themselves, it looks like HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a consuming fire took care of the entire army of Sennacherib. How can we be together with such a God? How is that possible that we're going to be able to survive if he's that Makbid? Holich Tzedakos Dover Misharim. That's the famous line. Here's what you have to do.
That's a weird logic.
What?
Hashem takes care of Sennacherib, and then the people are like, I don't know if we can deal with the God.
We can handle it.
But I'm saying, but he just wiped out your enemy. Like,
it's happened before.
He likes you.
It's happened before. I mean, listen, and the Jews have had this. Every time the Jews have taken on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, they anger a Kadosh Baruch Hu very, very quickly. Because when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is directly with you, although you get crazy miracles because a Kadosh Baruch Hu is with you, that also means that the expectations are a lot higher. Said the people, I don't know if we're going to live up to those expectations. How do we know that we're going to do it? That was the whole kasha. A Kadosh Baruch Hu, after the egos up, said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm not going to be around you anymore. I'm sending a malach instead, and the malach will take care of you. The reason why is simply put, so I don't punish you every time something like this happens. I don't want to kill you every time something like this happens. And Moshe Rabbeinu davened and said to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, no, we want you. We don't want a malach. We specifically want you with us. Now, we know that comes with a caveat that every time we do something wrong, you could destroy us. We don't care, said Moshe Rabbeinu, we want you directly. And that, unfortunately, was the reason why he did something a little bit wrong, right, with the Meraglim. Bnei Yisrael immediately don't go into Eretz Yisrael. Does something a little bit wrong with Mei Meriva, he doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael. He's not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. Where tiny little things become huge, huge problems when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is directly with him.
So, I mean, I understand we could always sort of...
There's a higher expectation. There's a higher expectation when you're in the king's palace than when you're outside the king's palace or in the garden or together with his guards. There's a higher expectation. So granted, there is Rachman. There's no question. So we're not totally destroyed and decimated. But we have a higher expectation. That's the problem with having a Kadosh Baruch Hu directly with us. And that's what they were afraid of. So Yeshaya says in the famous pasuk as well, it's mentioned in Sanhedrin, the following people, right? If you do these, I believe it's 18 things, I don't remember exactly, then you'll be fine. Then you'll be fine. Here it is. Holich Tzedakos, you walk in righteousness. It's a reference to like Avraham Avinu. Dover Mirsharim, you speak out right words. In other words, every time somebody asks you something, you never lie. You say exactly what he wants. It's two. Mois Bebetza, he doesn't want dishonest gain or profit that's unnecessary. That's not what he wants. Ma'ashakos, right? Bebetza Ma'ashakos, I think. Is that the whole thing? Dishonest gain. Yeah, that goes together. Those are three. Here we go. Nowhere cap of mitmoch bashochad. You shake your hands free of taking any bribes. Otem azno mishmo adamim. You close your ears from hearing bloody things. Otem einav miraos bara. And then you close your eyes from seeing anything evil. Those are the six things that you need. Umeromi mishkon, that person will live up above. Meaning that person is getting olava. Mitzado slaim miskavo. Among the high rock fortresses is where he will dwell. His bread will be given to him, right? And his water will be trustworthy water. It'll have everything there. Okay, I'm sorry. It's six things. I have to go through the Gemara Makos again. I forgot where it is exactly. Everybody remember the very end where Chavdalim and Aleph, and it says over there, right, there are 613 mitzvot. So as we know, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, right? Torah is Gemara 611. And then plus two, Anokhi and Lo Yelecha. So there's Torah and Anokhi and Lo Yelecha. Then the Gemara says, I forgot who it is. I thought it was Ba Yeshaya. Ba Yeshaya, and he turned them into... 18. And then, and they brought it down. Yeshaya, over here, this is where it said, Ba'yeshaya also sheish. That there are six, these are the six things that are there. I thought there was more, but there might be another post that I'm just not remembering offhand. But that's that. That's Ba'yeshaya also sheish. That he made six mitzvahs. That if a person does this, even if he's not able to keep the entire Torah for whatever reason, but if he does this, that person will be zocha to a chelik in Olam Haba. He'll be able to have something when it comes to Olam Haba. He's guaranteed something over there. Now, Melech
Bi'ah.
I think that's purpose. I think all of them was. At the end, by the way, does everyone remember what the one is?
No, I was just thinking that.
Do you remember what the one is? It's whittled down to one. Tzadik Be'munaso Yichya. That if you have your faith in a Kaddish Baruch Hu and he lives as a tzadik, then he'll live that way.
Close to
It is interesting, isn't it? It is. Yeah, at the end of the day, it does sound that way. I just want to point out that the Rashi Tevis of Tzadik Be'munaso Yichya is sweet. Just pointing that out again. Again, I'm just saying. It's not that it has to mean anything. I'm just saying. You keep arguing with them. I'm just telling you. It's Tzadik Be'munaso Yichya. I at least get one thing going for me over here. Okay, here we go. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Melech Be'yafyo Techazena Einecho. Your eyes should see a beautiful king. Tirena Eretz Merchakim. You should see a far away land. By the way, that's the line, by the way, is that a king has to always look his absolute best. That's why they're required to get a haircut every single day. That's why they're required to always wear the most special clothing, etc.
A little millimeter of a hair every day?
Maybe they do a different part every day.
Yeah, that's possible.
Where do you do
something? They style it. They style it. By the way, I would assume that it doesn't mean that they're shaving his head off, right? It means that he's got a nice haircut. If he's got like a David haircut, right? If you take a little bit off every single day to make it perfect every single day, that's that. You know?
Every day it will get shorter and shorter.
No.
You should take
any little bit. A little stuff like that. He probably is right. Dave over here is probably right. I would assume that they concentrate on different parts, different days. You know, because otherwise it's going to be there. I don't know. Well, they never shaved beards, so that's not shayach, but they probably did like little stuff.
Yes, all hold that the beard was untouchable, so that's almost like that.
I don't know, it depends if he was the Bava Sali, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how far back
it
was.
Trimmed his beard.
You're right, in theory they could, but they never, you started. They never do, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Bava Sali wouldn't let anyone touch his beard, and he had all the beard hairs in that little pocket of his cloak. Anything that fell out, he kept it in the pocket of his cloak. Yeah, I do that also, by the way. By the way, I haven't shown you guys that clip, but it's like a big one. Okay, so anyway, so Melech Bi'yafyo Techazena Einecho in the Eretz Merchakim. It says, Libcha Yege Eima, your heart, right, which has that fear. It says out loud, Ayeh Sofer is a Megdolim. Where is the counter? Where is the weigher? Right, where is the guy who's counting up the towers? Again, this is a reference to those who learn Torah. The Gemara Sanhedrin says, Ayeh Sofer is a Megdolim, is a reference to Doei Koadomi and Achitofel. The great men were able to call up Torah that was up in the sky. Now, my understanding of that is that we all create Torah based on the Rishonim. We don't create our own Torah, our own Midrash, and we just come up with it and say, like, here's a Medrash that comes out of nowhere. You base yourself on something that's there. And that means that you have a foundation, right? The foundation would be, I would call it, like, the Torah itself. Then you make a binyan on top of it. Well, on top of that binyan, that foundation, you need something like a big, you know, like some type of a big square, whatever it is. And that's sort of the words of the Rishonim or the Tanaim, Amoraim, etc. And you build up from there, and Sofer is a Megdolim is like you build up towers of Chochmah where you're able to build up on top of everything that everybody has already said. That's how we always understood it.
So what's
by Doi Gadomi, the foundation of Torah. Then eventually we'd be Tanoim, Amoraim, Rishonim, Achronim, and then yourself. Meaning you're building up on what everybody has said before. And Achronim we're building up on the Rishonim we're building up on the Gaonim on the Amoraim on the Tanoim, and the Tanoim on the Nevi'im. Right? They're all building up on something. The problem with Doi and Achitofel is that they were building up on nothing. Theirs was called a Migdal HaPoreach Ba'avir, flying up in the air. They may have been tremendous amounts of Chochmah, but they weren't based on anything that any of their Rebbeim or their previous Nevi'im had gotten, which is why they were called the Migdal HaPoreach Ba'avir. And that term can be used for people that are learning today. They're just making up their own Pshatim in the middle of nowhere. That would be called Sofer's Migdal. Not looking at anyone, I'm just saying. As Amdoas Lo Sir'eh, right? The mighty nation is no more. You won't see it. Am im kesafam nishmoa nilag lashon ein bina. The nation whose language is way too hard to understand and whose strange tongue has no meaning to you. Those people that are right there, they will see that mighty nation, that they're not going to hear the strange sounding language. I would guess that would mean that unfortunately those talmidei chachamim, the ones that were on such a level that were able to create drushim and ramazim and sodo so we can barely understand, those people are no more. They no longer are around that are able to create such things. Chazei Tzion Kiryas Moadeinu. You see Tzion, the city of our gathering. Einecha Tireni Yerushalayim. Your eyes see Yerushalayim. Navesh Anan, the tranquil place. Ol Bas Yitzon. Ol Bas Yitzon. What does that mean? Oh, an immovable tent. Right? Bal Yisai Zidosi. You won't be able to move around its pegs. Ol Netzach, forever. And all of its ropes, right, will never be cut. This Yerushalayim that you're going to see three times the city, it's invincible. Not physically. Invincible spiritually. That it'll never be taken down. That Kedusha will be there forever. Kim Shom Adir Hashem. Right there, HaKadosh Baruch will be Lanu for us. Mekom Narayim Yorim. Like huge, broad rivers. Rafli Adayim that are very, very broad. Baal Telech Bo. Right? Ani Shait. Where no ships can pass by. Vitzi Adir Lo Yavrenu. And the mighty vessels will not be able to cross. Ah, that's a Gemara Rosh Hashanah. What does he quote on the bottom?
Yuma Rosh Hashanah Chav Gimel.
Chav Gimel. Beautiful. That's a reference to certain types of boats. Right? Certain types of vessels that are able to go through. I believe that Gemara also says how they used to be able to collect the coral, how they used to go through there. But no matter what, that's going to be there. Because I will also say from this pasuk that somehow in the Beis HaMikdash there's going to be a mighty river that's going to go straight through Yerushalayim at the end of days, however that river comes about. At that time, Hashem is our judge. Hashem is our ruler. Hashem Malkenu Hu Yoshienu. He is our king. He will save us. Huh. Sounds like Inkel Okenu, doesn't it? A little bit off. Yeah.
But Yerushalayim towards spirituality did go down for like a lot of years in between.
I guess you could say that the ultimate Kedusha, the Kedusha that it always had, is always there. It's dormant sometimes. Maybe it can be hidden, but it's always there. It can always be brought back.
This contradicts the Gemara.
As opposed to Mishkan Shiloh, as opposed to Har Sinai, as opposed to No Givon, okay. All those areas where there is no Yerushalayim will come back. There's something back into it. Yeah.
I guess that would answer my question. It's saying that the
we hold Kishalas at level, but you're right. From Ezra. Yeah, there was something like that. But Yerushalayim will retain some type of Kedusha, even if you say that the Kedusha is gone for a little bit, or people are allowed to go into that area. No, I mean, yeah, I guess that's what it's going to be. All right, Nietzsche, I've never fully understood how Arabs can walk on it with, you know, not being Kadosh and not die.
That's why.
In the area of the Dome of the Rock. Why? Because they don't have the possibility of Kedusha?
No, because they don't have the Kedusha, so therefore...
The Ben Ish Chai speaks about that. That's actually a very, very good answer. The Ben Ish Chai speaks about how it's not even shaykh to them. So
they have no ability to even connect them.
Yeah, what was that? An Arab came up to the Ben Ish Chai and said to him once that he's like, we're much cleaner than you, we're much more taller than you are. Because you guys only go to the mikvah like once a week. Well, we go to the mikvah like every day, twice a day or something like that, before two of our tzvilos. We go to the mikvah twice a day.
Really?
So the Ben Ish Chai, I don't know. Yeah, The Ben Ish Chai probably went to the mikvah every day anyway. But the Ben Ish Chai said to him, he's just like, I mean, that doesn't make you more taller. He said, what do you mean? He said, a frog lives in the marshes his whole life. He's not more taller than a cow or a sheep. He said, even if a cow or a sheep barely goes into water, the cow or the sheep is more kadosh than a frog. That was his line back. All right, anyway, 20...
Wait, so did the Arab's head explode, or did he grow like green?
Yeah, no, he became a frog. Yeah, all right, now, Chav Gimel.
This is supposed to be a good story. That was terrible.
Nishu Chav Alayit. I didn't say it was a good story. Nishu Chav Alayit. Your ropes have been abandoned. Bal Yechazku, Cain Tornum. They're not able to hold the mast properly. Bal Porshu Nes. They're not able to spread the sail. Right? Uz Kulak Al Shalal. At that time, all the booty will be divided, and even the lame will go out and plunder. Now, in Pashupshat, this means the Assyrian camps of Yerushalayim and all the people they were able to take from all there. Again, it's a reference to the Judaism part, right? To their learning. It could mean that their learning was basically, you know, the Torah that they had no longer is there. People have to grab at whatever they can get. People just grabbed whatever they can get and tried to learn it and whatever it was. And we went for a broke. You know, we took work whatever we can. Cities well should not say that I'm sick, for the people who live in it will all be atoned of their sins. In other words, not only the lame, but also the ill people. Nobody's going to say they're sick on this day because they're going to go running outside and get all the plunder that they could possibly want. It's not because of them. They'll be atoned for everything they have. It's possible, and the easy answer to be able to get around all this, which is an amazing type of thing, is that you see how people are like. People say they're sick, and then all of a sudden something comes up, and you're just like, oh, we can go do this today. And all of a sudden the person's like, oh, I'm not sick anymore. Right, it's not there. That's the idea. What?
You refer to pancreatitis?
Pancreatitis is the best disease that there's out there.
But there was there.
What?
There was there. That
was a great moment. Dalid. Don't persecute the Jews. This is going to be the theme over here. That we're telling the other nations to not persecute the Jews throughout their troubles. While they're going through these troubles and things are happening, that's that. Hi, Kirbu Goyim.
The Christians really like love Yeshaya. How come this prophet didn't exactly stick?
They thought the Jews deserved to be killed by that time.
No, they wanted to force him to convert.
No, I know, but they're getting all their Jews. What this puzzle?
They only loved one puzzle. I mean, we know they're pickers and choosers. We definitely know that.
Tohu without the
whatever you want to call it. Kirvu Goyim Lishmoa. Listen, all nations, come close. Lulim Akshivu. Right, I want all the nations to come listen. Tishma Arutim Loa Tevo Bechol Diotzeh Tzatzoel. Right, the land and all everybody in it, the world and everything in it. Right, they should all listen up. They should all have it. He kept on Lashem Kol Goyim, because the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was on all the other nations. The king of Alkol Tzvo Amen, his wrath is upon all the armies. Hachrimam, he destroys them. Nasal Matavach, and he allows them to be slaughtered. Vachalein Mishlachu, their corpses are going to be thrown about. Uvigrayem, and their bodies, Yala Basham, it's going to smell. Vanamasu Harami Damam, and the mountains are going to melt from all of their blood. And this is the idea. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at them and say, if you mistreat the Jews, this is what's going to happen to your people. All of the malachim up in Shemayim are going to melt. The heavens will be rolled out. And all of their hosts up above will wither like the withering of a leaf, from a grapevine, like a fig from a fig tree. My sword is going to be satiated in heaven. It's going to be filled. It's going to come down in Edom, and therefore it's going to come down in the nation that I've condemned for judgment. Now again, I mean, it is really weird. I mean, at some point, I mean, Edom must have thought they'd never done anything really to the Jews. Like, where are they coming up over here? I don't mean people. Like, no shite
to war in times of
Do we remember anybody with Edom? We remember David and Melech fighting against Edom, but that was really for Amalek, right? Because David and Melech sent Yoav to go fight against Amalek, but we don't see Edom ever.
One where Edom teamed up with Israel, was it Israel against Moab?
They went
and
with
then
them.
Did they?
Right, they went around that way. We don't see anywhere like that. So they must have thought at some point this is a little bit strange that these words are against us. But anyway,
the war for the future
is
wrong.
No, for sure it is.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure it is. It's just strange that they would, you know, keep mentioning Edom. This Harav Lashem Moladam, the sword of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was filled with blood. Hugashna Mechelav Midam Karim. It's going to be fattened by all the fats of the blood of the big fat sheep, not too dim in the large goats. Mechelav Kilyos from the Ram's kidneys, right, of Elim. Because at that time there's going to be a sacrifice to God in Batsra, Metzavah Gadol Eretz Edom, a great slaughter in the land of Edom. Batsra is going to be the mistake of the Yetzer Hara. This is when the Satan is killed, according to the Gemara in Makos, when the Yetzer Hara runs away, or whatever you want to call it, the Malach of Esav, right, runs away, and he thinks he's going to be saved in Batsra. But the real Ir Miklat is really Betzer, not Batsra. It's an interesting mistake to go through. I've never really fully understood that Gemara. Pasuk Zion, the Yordu Re'emim Imam, the strong ones will go down with them. Uparim Abirim, the cows together with the strong ones. Verivso Artsam Bidum, their land is going to be satiated with blood. Vafar Mechel Yudushan, and all of the earth is fattened by all the fat and stuff like that. Okay, anybody who comes to help Edom, they'll all be killed as well. It says Ki Yom Dakam Hashem, there will be a day of vengeance for God. Shnas Shilumi L'Riv Zion, a year of repayment for all the complaints that Zion has had for everything like that. So to speak, one day will take care of a whole year of the complaints. Yeah, that one day was given to them to be able to take care of. All the rivers are going to turn into tar. All the land will turn to sulfur. Seira. The land will be filled with like a burning sulfur. Laila v'yomam lo sekeh will not end day and night. La'olam yala ashana, that ashan will always go up. Midor l'dor, every generation kaparev will be destroyed. L'netzach netzachim ein over va, nobody will be able to pass by. Thus, their lands are going to become like Sodom. Literally, it's going to be tar and sulfur all over. The whole countries will be ablaze. Now, that's easy to understand if you deal with, obviously, Kodesh Baruch Hu can do anything, and there's no question about that whatsoever, right? But it's possibly easier to understand if you look at it and you say there's some type of a massive bombing that goes through, the whole land burning, tar, sulfur, absolutely destroyed completely, right? In which there is nothing left in the entire land. That's the promise that a Kodesh Baruch Hu was given to those enemies of the Jewish people. The Yerushua caused the kippot, the Anshuva Orev Yishknuva. So it'll be taken over by Kos and Kippot. These are different types of birds that are mentioned, right? And the Yanshuf, which is an owl, and ravens will dwell in it. Then there will be lines of waste and stones of chaos is going to be around there. Their nobles, right, who said there is no kingdom here, Yikaru office, and all their officers will become nothing. So in other words, the officers who said they don't have to listen to anybody, we're not going to listen to any kingdom, no one's in charge of us, we can do whatever we want, they're all gone. The Ozalman who says Yirim Kimosh Bakoach, the Mitzorel. All their palaces are going to be filled with thorns, right? Nettles, thistles, and all their fortresses. It's going to be an area where jackals and snakes live. Chotzel of Nos Diano, a little area for Nos Diano, which is usually translated as ostriches. I kind of think it refers to another type of a bird that kind of lives in these types of areas, maybe like vultures and stuff. Fogshut Siam Esiyim, the wild beasts will run into the wild cats. The goats, the wild goats will call out to each other. Aksham Yergia Lili, Umatzalamanoah. At that time, there will be night birds that call out to one another. They're going to find rest for themselves. Meaning, it's all going to be animals and whatever it is, because nothing can live in these areas anymore except for the little types of animals and stuff like that. Obviously, this also is a reference to Lili, with the female demon that's in charge. Shama Kinida Kipos. Yeah, Lili. As well, okay. Shama Kinida Kipos Batamalate, right? That's where the owls will be able to live there. They'll build their nest there. They'll escape everything. Ubakov and Dogra Bitsiwa. They will lay eggs, hatch them, and bring the chicks in that shadow. Aksham Nikbitsu Dayos Isharusa. That's where the kites will be able to gather as well. That's another thing. Kites are interesting because they fly and they migrate from place to place. They'll still come back. They'll still find an area to go. Dear Shumel Sefer Hashem, search in the book of God. Who crow and read Achas Mehena, not one of them, Lo Nedar, will never be missing. Ishru Solo Fakadu, right? One did not invite the other. Kipiu Tziva, Ruhu Kipson. His word is commanded, his spirit is gotten. Okay, see, this is a shot. If you look out and you see over in Vayikra, you'll see that all the birds mentioned over there are going to be seen over here. Open it up, and you'll see, and you'll realize that a Kodesh Baruch Hu can allow all birds to live peacefully together. That it's possible for that to be. In other words, right? That time where Noah, where the world was destroyed, and there was peace in the Teva for a year where all birds remained domestic and whatever it is, that's going to happen again in these lands. That there's going to be enough food for all the birds to be able to live there, but no people will be able to live there, and that'll all be gone completely. He cast lots for them. His hand divided up for them, the cob with a line. Adolam forever, Yerushua, they will inherit it. Lador v'dor Yishkabon, they will live there forever, meaning this will be the wild birds in their eternal home. They will live there forever, and that's going to be their place forever. I don't know if that's a reference in some way, shape, or form to the times of Mashiach, that the nations of the world will be these galgal into birds, and they'll live in that land forever, and then that's going to be their thing. I don't know if it's a reference to Bnei Yisrael somehow, that they're going to live in the other lands, and that they're going to find their home inside there, and that we'll all be peaceful with one another. I don't know if it's a reference to the galgal themselves, that the nations of the world will be like the birds, and they'll be able to live in peace in a desolate land that's outside of Eretz Yisrael. I have no idea. Regardless, at the end of the day, that's what it refers to. Okay, here we go. Oh, yeah. How do you spell this word? It's messed up over here in Paraklan and Hey Pastor Gala.
Yisusum.
Yisusum. Midbor Mitzio. So they're going to be happy, the desert and the wasteland, right? Arava, Mesogil, Arava, in the wilderness is going to rejoice. It's going to blossom like a little lily. So we say, it's going to blossom and flourish, and it's going to be happy. It will rejoice and sing. All the glory of the Lebanon will be given over to it. Hadar HaKarmel, the beauty of the Karmel Vasharoin. Right? They're going to see the beauty of God. What's the Sharon? What does that refer to? What part? North of Tel Aviv?
Like between,
in between Haifa and Tel Aviv?
Ranana, north to like 44.
What else is up there? Netanya.
Where's Netanya? Netanya is in Sharon. Hadera.
North. What's south of Tel Aviv?
Hulon.
Are you where the Blind Museum is?
Yeah, I must be thinking around there. So Herzliya is also, it's a beautiful place. So that area is known as the Sharon. Okay, so that's good. So that's going to be the Lebanon, which is up north, right? The Carmel, right? As well as the Sharon. They're going to see everything. Yerushalayim is going to be beautiful once again. The spirituality will now be complemented by its physicality. Everything's going to be good. Strengthen those hands that are weak. And those who are weak of their knees, strengthen them. Go tell the people who are impatient. Please go. Be patient. Azra, don't be afraid. The vengeance of your God will come. The reward or whatever it is, the retribution of a Kodesh Baruch Hu will come and it will save you. At that point, the blind men they will open up their eyes, and the ears of the deaf will be able to hear. Now, it's possible that that also is a literal sense, that those who are blind and those who are deaf will now be able to see and hear, meaning it's going to be everybody will be healed and things will get better for everybody, right? It's possible that's what it refers to. We're going to get to something else, the Pisaya. I don't know if we do get to the news over here. I don't think so. But we are going to say, oh yeah, we are here. Oz Yedali Ayo Pisaya, the lame will skip like a ram. Ayol is a deer, a female deer. The Saron Lashoni lame, and the tongue of the mute person will sing, right? There will be waters that go throughout the desert and streams that go out throughout the wilderness. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it seems like this is an obvious idea that he's going to heal the physical defects of every human being and everything's going to get better. That's the obvious pshat behind this pasuk, and seemingly that's what the pshat is. It's possible that it also refers to that people are going to understand more than what they ever did before. That not only will there be physical defects that are taken care of, the spiritual defects. I've always wondered this as well. People, when Tzchias HaMeisim comes, so their imperfections are going to be saved. So let me ask you. Let's say a guy happens to have a big nose. Is that going to be changed? Is that considered a defect or no?
Definition of a defect. Well, tomorrow,
yeah, what is the definition? So I understand. Are we talking only those defects are changed, but everybody's going to be the same? What I'm really asking is everybody going to look the same? We're all going to have the same beauty of Adam Rishon. Or is everybody, you still retain your specific flavor? Let's say a guy is ugly. A guy is just purely ugly. He's got no good qualities whatsoever. Is that guy's whole face going to change? Is that going to happen? I have a little scar right over here. Is this scar going to be there? Or is that not going to be there?
That might be. You've got that scar. We were born with that scar.
That's what I'm asking. What's going to change exactly? If a person became blind later on in life, he's healed, right? Even if he wasn't born that way, like Rav Yosef got blind toward the end of his life because he became sick. So if Rav Yosef got that, so maybe it would be the same thing with this scar. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. But a Kodesh Baruch Hu promises us there will be people who will be able to see, will be able to hear, will be able to talk, will be able to whatever, and they'll be there. I would assume it for sure means that anybody with Down syndrome or, you know, autism or on the spectrum in any way, that they're going to be able to be there. Lefties. Lefties.
That would be
I'm a lefty by necessity because my right hand is, you know, because my hand is so much smaller. I don't think so. Nobody in my family is a lefty, and we know that it's, what's it called? It's genetic, right?
My parents are both right, and all my brothers are lefty.
Really?
That's weird.
I think that's what happened to me because I can still write with my right hand. When I broke my left hand, I was able to write with my right hand.
Back in the day.
But I just don't do it.
Anybody who started using left hand, they were like taught.
They forced them
to only use right hand.
Yeah. On the other hand, right in baseball, anybody who starts pitching with their right hand, they go ahead and make them do it with their left hand. They make them do it. how many left-handed pitchers. You need the left-handed pitcher. You need that. So they do all the time in baseball. So either way, it says by Sharav Agam, right? So all the places that are going to be like totally sun-baked are going to turn into, you know, lakes. Simol Mabamui Mayim, all the parched areas become springs of water. But Sanim, the areas where there are snakes and hyenas or jackals, Ribza Khatir is going to be filled with grass. Lakan of Agome, there's going to be reeds, there's going to be bulrushes over there. There's going to be a path and a way. It's going to be called the Derech HaKodesh. Lo Yavrenu Tamei, no Tamei people can be for them. Ulamo Holeh Derech, and he, it shall be for them a way of going. The Vilu Yisu, right? The foolish people, they will not wonder. And I think that for sure refers to people are not going to be able to. There's going to be a Derech. People are going to understand what they're going to do with their lives, and they're going to understand how to learn up the Torah. They're going to have a Derech to be able to, and there's no more mistakes. Lo Yisham Aryeh, there will no longer be a lion there. Pricks Chayos Balyolena, all the crazy animals, the wild animals are not going to go there. Lo Tzimot Yisham, they won't be found there. The whole Ge'ulim, people will be able to walk as if they're redeemed without any problems whatsoever. At that moment, right, the redeemed ones of our Kodesh Baruch are going to return to Bol Tzion Brina. They come down to Tzion in song, the Simcha Solom Arosham, the Simcha, the worlds upon their heads. They're going to return with glee and joy, right? All sadness and woe is going to disappear, and that won't be there whatsoever. Everything is going to be perfectly fine. It's going to be boundless. Their joy is going to be boundless. Why? Because they know that this redemption is going to be forever and ever, and there's nothing that's going to come in its place. There is no, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do this. No, everything's gone. By this time, everything's gone. Period. That was the end of the Mashiach times and what's going to be at the end of days and everybody being fixed, etc. Now, we're getting into Sennacherib's conquest of Yerushalayim. We're going into, since most of this paper has been dealing with, when not dealing with what's going to be in Mashiach, we go into Sennacherib and what was happening during that time. We now go into exactly what happened when Sennacherib took over Yerushalayim. So, Parag Lamed Vav, Pasuk Aleph says, in the 14th year of the king Sennacherib, the king of Ashur, went up on all the cities of Yehuda that were seized, that were fortresses, and he captured them. He was able to get all of them. Okay, so we already know that 8 years prior to this, he had already made Galus Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael had already been Galus. Malchus Yisrael is now gone. So the king of Assyria sent Rav Shakeh, which we all know was a Jew, who went off the Derech. He went from Lachish to Yerushalayim, to meet the king Chizkio, the Chol Kaved with a lot of armies. But Yavuk to Olam Reicha, and he stood by a certain reservoir. Ha'el Yonah that was up above in the field of Bekovitz, by the path of Bekovitz around the waters. Now, in this area was where Chizkio closed off the waters that Sennacherib's men would not be able to get any of the waters, which in the end was a bad thing, and the Chachamim did not say it. He didn't want them to have any water while they were sieging Yerushalayim.
That sounds like a technically smart thing to do.
But why was he blamed for it?
Why is that bad?
Because he should have trusted Yeshaya when Yeshaya said you'll be fine. Remember, Yeshaya kept telling him, you do not have to worry about Sennacherib. It is not your time yet. Sennacherib is going to come up against you, but don't worry. He should not have done anything when it came out to that.
Maybe saying he'll be fine because he does stuff like turning up the water and that kind of stuff. Why not?
Good call. I don't know, but apparently maybe that was just to send him away. But maybe he, I don't know. That I can't answer. Perhaps it was that Yeshaya told him, you don't have to worry about anything. Don't do anything. If I remember correctly, he did say those words. That means, don't do anything. Just stand back and you'll watch it happen. You'll see the salvation. You'll see it'll happen in 1 second. So remember the exact wording. If you'll remember, there was a guy who went up against this year. Remember that guy? The guy who was against him. There was an army of people who was actually more than Hezekiah, right? Who ended up going through. His name was Shebna.
That's who they locked out.
And Shebna was the one that was locked out outside of the walls. The reason why Shebna was so against it, Shebna said, let's make peace with them. Hezekiah said, no, let's wait it out. Hezekiah was sure that Yeshayah's Nebu was going to come true. Shebna was not. Shebna said, let's just make peace, everything will work out. Well, obviously he was wrong. By Yitzhi level, Yochim Mechukiah, Shere Olamai, Shebna, Sofer, Vyoch, and Elsa, Famazkir. He sent out two Rav Shokeh, El Yochim, who was in charge of the palace. Shebna, the Sofer, Yoach, and also the secretary. Now think about that for a second, by the way. He did not send out a general. He didn't send out an army man.
Sound diplomats.
He sent out diplomats. And
his
that's
own
it.
Son.
His own people. Why? Well, who's the son?
I'm sorry. I saw Phil Kiyahu. Not Phil Kiyahu.
No, not that. Menashe was his only son.
It was his chief of staff.
And that's what it tells him. Rav Shakir. Rav Shakir said to them, Ibn El Chizkio, go tell Chizkio, no longer to call him HaMelech. Go tell the king. Go tell Chizkio, call him HaMelech HaGadol. Here's what the great king says, Melech HaShuram. I'll be talking to Zer Shabbatotza. What are you so confident about? What are you so confident about? Amati Asavar Sosayim Eto Gura. You said it's only words, right? Eto Gura Lemochama. There's Eto Gura when it comes to war. Atal Mibatas and Kimarazabi. What are you relying on that you're willing to rebel against me? What do you think is going to save you over here? Do you think your tefillah, right, is going to be able to help? Only words? Is that the only thing you got? Because if it's just tefillah, my friend, you're in for a big surprise. There's no way you're going to be able to defeat me. You know what you really relied on? You relied on the broken reed stem, or a tzutz that's broken as al mitzrayim. I should say, made isha love. You think people should rely on him? Ubaba kapo, right? Baba kapo nekava. Once he comes upon your hand, you'll see how he pierces it. King Paro Melech Mitzrayim, the whole boat's going up. Anybody who assures themselves that Paro's going to save them, Paro's out for his own good. He doesn't care about you. He's always going up against you. He's not helping you. The only reason why he would help you is if he thinks he's going to make some money off it. And if he doesn't think so, he's not going to help you. So don't assume Paro's coming up against you. Pasuk Zayin, because somewhere I lie with you. Say to me, Allah Hashem Elokeinu Batachnu, we rely on God. Halu Asher Hitzir Chizkiyahu Es Bamosav. That's Mizbakosav. Now, this is a major mistake of Rav Shakeh. But didn't Chizkiyah take away all of his Bamos and all of his Mizbechos? What did Chizkiyahu do when he came to Yerushalayim, when he got in charge? Took away all the Bamos in Yerushalayim and all the private Mizbechos in Yerushalayim that everybody had to bring Korbanos where? Only in the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah.
Rav Shakeh thought that was stupid. You should allow everybody to sacrifice in their own backyard. Now no one's going to go to the Beis HaMikdash. So now you have less people sacrificing. But in fact, Chizkiyahu did the right thing by doing so. He was perfectly fine in doing so because that got rid of all the Avodah Zaranix. That got rid of all the people who were sacrificing incorrectly outside the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, Chizkiyahu was praised for doing such a thing. So the fact that he did that was not a bad thing whatsoever. It actually was a really, really good thing. Right? He said to everybody, you have to bow down in front of this Mizbeach. That's silly. Why should that be? He said Rav Shakeh. But Rav Shakeh was wrong. That's exactly what the schus of Chizkiyahu was. I want you to wager now. I want you to make a bet with my master, the king of Ashur. I will give you 2,000 horses if you can find 2,000 people who know how to ride on horses. You want to fight up against me? Said Rav Shakeh. You want to fight up against the Kharif? I'll give you 2,000 horses. Go find 2,000 riders. Oh, you can't find them? Oh, you expect to win against us. You expect to win. So it says, how in the world are you supposed to go up against one officer of my master? Right? Even the smallest one, it's to call Mitzrayim. Do you assume you're going to get from Mitzrayim all of your chariots and all of your horses? Do you really think that's going to happen? It's so funny. Sancheir's cavalry was 2,000 riders, and there were 185,000 units of those 2,000 riders, said Rav Shakeh. How in the world are you going to go up against any of those cavalries? You don't even have 2,000 men who can ride horses. How in the world is that going to be? Is it not with God that I've come up against this land? God has told me to destroy it. God has told me to go up against this land and to destroy it. So you don't think that I have God's permission to do so? Said Rav Shakeh, Sancheiriv knows that God told him to do so. When did God tell him to do so? They heard Yeshaya's Nebuos. Yeshaya's Nebuos were known far and wide. And Yeshaya was telling them there is going to be a man from Ashur who is going to come up and take over Yisrael, and then he's going to receive Jerusalem. The funny thing is that he never heard the end of the Nebuah. Had he heard the end of the Nebuah, then he wouldn't have come up. Please speak in Aramaic. We understand the language. Don't speak to us in Jewish language. See, even back then they didn't speak in Jewish. Right? So that the people that are listening on top of the wall, they don't have to hear it. Right? He thought they were disturbed and there were blasphemies. They didn't want the people to hear the blasphemies over here. Plus, they didn't want to hear something that was going to, knock down the spirit of the people. Do you think it was to you and your master that a Kaddish Baruch Hu that my master sent to speak out these words? It was really to those people who are going to eat their own excrement and are going to drink their own urine together with you. Because you guys are going to starve. We're going to sit here in this siege. We're going to be here forever. You're going to starve. So they're going to have to know that they're going to have to eventually eat their own excrement and drink their own urine. The Alma Rav Shekhev, a Yikra, a Kol Gal, the Yehudis. So Rav Shekhev got up and he spoke out in a great voice in Jewish. Listen to the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Don't let Chizkiyahu fool you. He has no ability to save you. Don't let Chizkiyahu make you trust God. That God will be able to save us. That this city will not fall into the hands of the king of Assyria. He said, don't listen to Chizkiyahu. This is what the king of Assyria said. Do for me a favor. Come out to me. Then I'll give each one of you a grapevine. I'll give each one of you a fig tree. I'll give each one of you a little pit full of water. And then it will take and bring you over to a land like your land, a land filled with oil and wine, a land filled with grain and wine, I'm sorry, as well as a land filled with bread and vineyards. I'll take you over to that place. Because I'll say that once he got to that, he said, I'll give you a land like yours. I said, no way, you're never going to find a land like ours. And they said, once he said that, he ruined everything. He said too much. He said to us before, just come out, now give each person something that you'll need, whatever. They were all like, okay. But as soon as he said this, they said, forget it, we're not coming out. The guy's lying to us. He's lying to us. There's no way he's going to find a land like this. And Yasin come Chizkiyahu Lamor Hashem, Yatzilenu. Maybe Chizkiyahu is going to persuade you by saying that Hashem will save us. Did the other gods of the other nations save their lands from the king of Assyria? Again, idiotic line. You're right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's not like the other gods, lower
right,
case.
But in those days, every nation had their own god. And
agreed. But the Jews. Right. Cool. I understand what Rav Shekhev was saying. That.
Yeah, of course. Maybe Rav Shekhev, who apparently was Jewish, but there are some Herod can know what him was the difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, he already beat
Israel.
Beat Israel. He exiled Israel.
You're right. I would assume, I'm not positive, but I would assume they had heard rumors of the greatness of Yerushalayim of yore. Remember, it's only been 300 years.
There were miracles every day in the face of the
earth. I don't know.
About 300 years ago?
Well, it really was 600 years since Kriyas Yom Suf, right? But 300 years since the times of the Nevi'im and the Shoftim.
It's not that long time period in the grand scheme.
Yeah, I don't think so. It has been a long time. Agreed. But nonetheless, if I told you that
Napoleon left France 200 years ago, are you going to be like, oh, France is
but there was still context to that very day because there were miracles in the base of Egypt every day.
Yeah, hold on. Even if you didn't have that, hold on. If Napoleon would have won a war in a crazy fashion, with crazy, seas, overcoming their enemies and whatever it was, then yes, people would have still been talking about it.
People would still be talking about it. But if I'm coming with the largest army in the world, and I'm the United States now, would I be afraid of France?
China, by the way. China. And then North Korea. And then the U.S.
My point is that I'm talking about countries from 200 years ago and what their standing is today. If I've got the largest country and the strongest army in the world, this little town, 20,000 people living in the city, they're going to stop me?
Again, put it another way. Remember that the Jews were the downtrodden one in all those stories. There was the most powerful nation of the world going up against them, and yet they won in miraculous fashion. You're right. No. But I'm saying that they must have known these stories at some point. They must have had some type of idea. They knew the reason why these Jews are in this land is because of crazy miracles. Crazy miracles. Now, did you believe it? Maybe you didn't believe it. Maybe you didn't believe it. That's possible. But you must have heard the rumors. So, I don't know. To say that God is just like any other God, no other God has rumors like that about their nation. We have those rumors about us. We have those lines about us. I'm trying to explain it this morning. That idea that I was trying to give this morning, trying to prove the veracity of the Torah and that it was written by God. One of the things that I mentioned was, why would you put in the story of Yehuda and Tamar into the Torah? If you're David HaMelech, or you're the kings of Yehuda, you're saying that everything comes from Yehuda, this is Malchus Yehuda, and all the kingdoms of Israel are gone. Why would you allow that story to be put in the Torah if it wasn't of divine origin? Who would do that? Who would do that? Meaning you don't have that in any other nation.
But that's not necessarily an argument. When Ezra was a Kohen, it was much after David HaMelech and everything. What's the difference?
Ezra Kohen? Ezra Sofer? Because he still does Malchus Beis David. Malchus Beis David still existed.
There was no kingdom anymore.
Yeah.
I don't even see that.
There were kings in Assyria.
before.
And it seems still exists.
They were king.
I mean, they were pretty good.
That was after.
Yeah, I hear you. But that's the idea. The idea is that those people would have taken it down. But yeah, let's finish it off. It says the following. It says, were they able to save the Shomron from my hands? None of the other gods that were able to save their land from my hands. You think Yerushalayim is going to be saved from my hand? They were silent. Did not answer a thing. The command of the king was, do not answer him. You know why they didn't answer him? Because again, when a person is disgraced, being disgraced, there's no point in running right back and saying, no, you're wrong. They really didn't have a retort.
What are they going to
do? All they had is their trust of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Their trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, okay, he's going to help us. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if we do rely on our own strength, then you're right, then we're wrong. Right? Then obviously there are problems. They came torn with clothing. And they told over to Chizkio Amelech what Rav Shakeh said, and obviously Chizkio was extremely saddened to hear what was going on. We're up to Paragon at 9.